Postscript for Ukraine. I set out to write this book to show how and why language is at the core of everything that makes us human. It's our remarkable ability to communicate that sets us apart from all other species. And through time, our shared understandings gradually converge onto common solutions to the wider issues we all face. When the book first came out, the world was still grappling with the COVID pandemic. And while that only added weight to my point that effective cooperation at the global level is the end destination of our long journey with language, my closing argument about how to tackle the veto at the United Nations perhaps seemed less relevant. Then came February the 24th, 2022. Although Russia had annexed Crimea in 2014 with precious little pushback from the international community, a full-on invasion of the sovereign nation of Ukraine with an army of nearly 200,000 troops could scarcely be ignored. As a clear violation of the principles of the UN Charter, it immediately triggered a meeting of the UN Security Council, which, through the strange irony of fate, it was Russia's turn to chair. The Russians duly vetoed a draft resolution demanding that they withdraw from Ukrainian territory. But in a rare display of unity, the other members of the Council then came together to take precisely the step I advocate in my final chapter. As I write this, the resultant emergency session, the first for 30 years, is still in progress, and we don't yet know the final outcome of their deliberations, nor do we know how bad the tragedy unfolding in Ukraine is likely to get. But with millions of Ukrainians already in flight from their country, and the Russian army still relentlessly pounding their cities and core infrastructure, without significant external help, Ukraine is set to suffer the same fate as Syria. It seems incredible that in the 21st century, we should be unable to find a way to stop it. Russia being a nuclear power, there are understandable fears about taking military action. But there's a huge difference between intervening as part of NATO, which would be an act of war, and doing so as part of an emergency force mandated by the United Nations to restore the peace. That is its righteous and legal function, after all. The fact that the United Nations has failed to act over previous breaches of the Charter, not least the invasion of Iraq, is no reason to continue that failure now. And if there is the will to commit full force in defence of NATO countries, as President Biden has stated, how much better to defend Ukraine now in the name of the United Nations? For you can't nuke a principle, especially one you're already signed up to. If our great adventure with language is about one thing above all, it's the realization that conversation is better than confrontation, and sharing better than acting alone. That is the trajectory of history, and if we want to know why we first learnt to talk, we need look no further than that. This is not just or even a moral judgment. In purely practical terms, the ability to act together and exchange ideas is the only way to overcome the tyranny of the strong. Just like individuals, information wants to be free, and it is language that allows it, and us, to be so. By the time you hear this, the Ukraine crisis may well be history, but whether or not resolved through the United Nations, the direction of travel is clear. We cannot continue to let powerful countries bully weaker ones. More than that, through the UN Charter we have all promised not to let them do so, a point made so passionately by President Zelensky in his dramatic speech to the Security Council. It's time to live up to our words. That is the ultimate and logical task of language. It's a task that now only awaits completion. April 2022.